welcome to this Witness History podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Rebecca Kesby. Today, the story of a pioneer in China's democracy movement. Long before the student-led demonstrations in Tiananmen Square in 1989, young Chinese had been pushing for change. I've been speaking to Wei Jinsheng, whose dramatic actions in the late 1970s would result in years of prison and exile.
人要做事情呢，总要付代价的，不可能不付代价做事情。做了那么大的事情。
What it did was for China and for all Chinese people. It was a historic moment for the democracy movement, even though my own personal sacrifice was significant. I do think it made a big difference. And so, yes, I think it was worth it.
This is Wei Jinsheng. In the late 70s, a short essay he wrote criticizing the communist one-party state caused great excitement on the streets of Beijing, but caused him to spend 18 years in jail. After the death of Mao Zedong in 1976, Deng Xiaoping had risen to the premiership, promising reform and development, and there was a slight easing of the authoritarian ways of Mao. In 1978, Deng set out a plan called the Four Modernizations, designed to boost the economy, focusing on agriculture, industry, defense, and science and technology. In his essay, Wei Jinsheng suggested a fifth modernization, democracy.
After 30 years of communist rule, most Chinese people had concluded that Mao's Marxist ideas, copied from the Soviets in Russia, was not the right way for China. But we weren't sure which was the right way for China to go. There were many debates and discussions about it. Some thought we should learn from Western democracies. Others said, no, we just needed a new form of Marxism. The young people were the most enthusiastic about democracy. Lots of people began writing ideas, articles or slogans on big posters, and we would stick them up on a particular wall on Xidan Street in central Beijing. It became known as the Democracy Wall.
It was really the 70s version of an online chat room. Ideas would be physically posted up on the wall, and interested passers-by would gather to discuss them. The modest relaxation of the authoritarian rules and this new wave of political energy began to be referred to as the Beijing Spring. But it was short-lived, and as Wei Jinsheng would find out, it was still very dangerous to criticise the ruling Communist Party.
We were all enjoying the discussions at Democracy Wall, but there were limitations to those debates, partly because everyone was still so terrified after years of oppression, so people didn't always say what they really thought. The other problem was that we just didn't have enough information about the state of the country because of all the propaganda. Nobody really knew what was going on.
It had been Wei Jinsheng's own experience that first opened his eyes to some of the problems in China. As a child, he'd grown up in a proudly pro-communist household. In fact, his family had been included with Mao's most trusted communist allies and invited to live in the majestic summer palace. But it was when Jinsheng enlisted into the Red Guard in the 1960s that he began to have doubts about the leadership.
The Cultural Revolution started in 1966, and I was sent to the countryside with the Red Guards. After that, I gradually started to change my views. I had so many questions going round in my head, so I read a lot of books. But what really began to transform my outlook were a couple of incidents that still stick in my mind because they were so shocking. In one village, I saw a young girl begging for food, but she was so poor, she had no clothes, she was completely naked. And I thought, how can she be so poor not to have anything to put on her back? And then in 1968, I was posted to my father's hometown in the countryside. And there, I found out that during the big agricultural reforms of the late 1950s, lots of people had been left starving. It was so bad that those villagers had been reduced to cannibalism to survive. I was absolutely horrified and totally shocked, because the picture the communist regime had painted of those years, it was so rosy. And yet, This was the reality.
You're referring to Mao's so-called Great Leap Forward. This is the five-year plan to reorganise the agricultural areas and collectivise the farmland away from individual farmers. It actually led to one of the worst famines in history, I think. Millions died.
Yes, and in the late 60s, part of my job in the Red Guard involved me having to contact other parts of the country about different things. But I began to ask questions about what had happened, and I found out that actually what I'd seen weren't isolated incidents. They had happened all over China, and that tens of millions of people had starved to death. I just couldn't look at the leadership in the same way after that. All trust was gone. And as more information came out about the numbers that had died, it wasn't just me doubting communism. Even quite senior people in the party began questioning what had happened in the Great Leap Forward. Some were even outspoken about it, and of course were harshly punished for doing so.
Wei Jinsheng left the Red Guard and became an electrician, but it was the beginning of a political journey, one he knew would be dangerous, but one he felt he couldn't avoid. Others in China were beginning to think in a similar way, and through the early 70s, as Mao became more frail, the momentum for change was building. When Mao died, it brought a new opportunity for a different direction for China. But Jinsheng felt people were still too scared, so he made a calculated decision to lead the way.
Some of us were upset that people were too cowardly, too frightened to pressure for democracy. So that's when I felt this call and why I wrote the essay, The Fifth Modernization. I knew that it might be the last thing I ever wrote. So I decided to just be really clear about exactly what I thought we needed in this country. I was prepared to have my head cut off for it. That's why it comes across as being very bold, because it was effectively my last statement, basically.
You say that you were prepared to lose your life over this, but what you wrote was incredibly brave. You were so critical, but you also, you put your own name on this essay that you published and your address, which other people who were putting poems and other things up on this democracy wall weren't so bold. What made you do that?
Yes, I made the decision rationally. I decided that I was prepared to sacrifice myself for the idea. I wasn't the only one. We had set up a magazine called Exploration, and others on the magazine felt the same. We didn't want to die. We were scared of death. But we were ready to be the brave few for the welfare of the rest of China.
Do you remember the moment that you actually published it? You actually pasted it up on the wall, because there was no turning back after that.
As a matter of fact, I wrote the essay really fast, overnight. And it was still in the middle of the night when I posted it up on the democracy wall. Because I did it so quickly, I didn't have the right pen or paper, just normal-sized paper and just a small pen. So no good for a poster. But later I decided to go back to the wall and see whether anyone had noticed it. And there was a crowd of hundreds there, all trying to read it. I must admit, I was so thrilled to see the response, to see ordinary members of the public so enthusiastic about my ideas. It was amazing. The tiny poster was swamped, and people couldn't see it, so the ones at the front were reading it out loud to the people behind. And every line got a cheer. That was amazing and so exciting. Then some of us from the magazines started selling issues of it at the Democracy Wall, and people were clambering to get them. We were engulfed, so much so we had to climb on top of the wall and sell them from there. And the public enthusiasm really gave us courage to keep going, whatever the cost.
As he'd anticipated, Wei Jinsheng was arrested. The government was pushing for the death penalty, but it seems the desire for a new China had seeped into many parts of society.
The only reason I survived was because even people within the Communist Party knew Mao hadn't been good for many Chinese, and some even wanted democracy. So they put up some resistance to Deng Xiaoping, who really wanted me dead. Not only could you feel a shift in the public mood, but even in court, I could feel that the judge and some of the police were sympathetic towards me. In fact, the judge had a huge argument were the people sent to the court from central government who wanted me executed. They were fighting so loudly, we could hear the quarrel next door in the courtroom. Anyway, the judge decided to commute my sentence to 15 years in prison, not execution.
Workers, intellectuals, almost every walk of life have answered the students' call for a mass display of defiance.
10 years into Wei Jinsheng's imprisonment, student activists in China were again calling for democracy. Thousands defied the authorities to demonstrate in the vast Tiananmen Square in central Beijing. Jinsheng was able to see the protests on TV, as his prison guards also wanted to watch the incredible scenes.
Few people could have expected that so many would come out in the face of possible armed intervention.
I have to say, I was very emotional and really encouraged to see those protests, because the fight for democracy was continuing. But I was very concerned. I admired the sheer bravery of those students' leaders, but I was so worried that there would be a crackdown by the authorities, and it would be a bloodbath. Even the prison guards were worried about it.
And sure enough, that crackdown came.
The troops have been firing indiscriminately, but still, there are thousands of people on the streets who will not move back.
Hundreds, possibly thousands, were killed. Nobody really knows. After considerable pressure from Western countries, Wei Jinsheng was released, rearrested a couple of times, before being finally released on medical grounds in November 1997, when he was deported to the USA.
Do you still think democracy is possible in China?
Yes, of course. Even now, there are people within the leadership who secretly believe in democracy. It's just a matter of time. That's why I didn't learn English, because it's always been my hope that we'll go back to China one day. The severe suppression at the moment by Xi Jinping proves that even he is losing confidence in his own dictatorship. There's even a Chinese proverb for this. It's the last desperate struggle before death.
Wei Jinsheng. He now lives in the USA and continues to write about human rights and democracy. He was speaking to me, Rebecca Kesby, for this Witness History podcast from the BBC World Service.